Melissa Show. We are here to coach you to your success, to coach you to your purpose, your passion, and your destiny. Tune in each week, Monday through Friday morning, for a lesson, a tool, or a tip or strategy on how to dig deep past all the things that are hiding the true you. Find out not only who you are, but exactly what you ought to be doing in your life, where you should be going, and how you should be getting there. Well, I am Lalisa J. Williams, your coach, and I am honored and grateful to be here to assist you. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and enjoy the show. You can contact Coach Lalisa after the show via the internet. You can visit the website, www.lalisajwilliams.com, or for a free coaching session just for you, go to www.mylifecompass.com/Lalisa Williams. Now I want you to sit back, get that pen and pencil out, get ready to take lots of notes. We got activities lined up for you. Get ready to go to another level in your life. And don't forget, invite a friend tomorrow. The show is going to be awesome. And now, Coach Lalisa J. Williams.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Good morning, Sagittarian in the chat room there. Good morning, good morning. It is a very, very snowy day for some of us. Well, if you're having sunshine, we're having snow. It just goes to prove the sun is always shining somewhere. So we are still happy and excited about today, in spite of the show. In spite of the snow, we are still here to motivate you, to move you, to make it happen for you in your life on today, this morning. As a matter of fact, go ahead and tell all your friends, call your family members, those individuals that would not normally be home and not normally able to tune into the show today, because many schools are canceled across at least the Northeast. All the schools are shut down. It's too early to get outside and to begin snowing, and you may just want to get some motivation before you start doing that anyway. So why don't you just take a little break from your breakfast, grab your coffee, come on over, and tune in to the Coach Lalisa Show. This morning, Wednesday is our midweek special. We have with us, as we do each and every Wednesday, Mr. Versi L. Walker, who will also be hosting the show this morning. Well, we're going to move out of his way and bring him to you. He will be coming to you in just a moment. Now, when he comes to the show, he will let me know he's ready, because he'll hit his number one. He'll hit the number one, and I will pick up his phone line. So as soon as he gets here, he'll hit the number one key. Good morning. How's it going there in the chat room? Welcome, welcome. Well, you see, I chose a background that is sunny and bright. Though it's not sunny and bright in this part of the country, and I heard last night on the news that out of the 50 states, 49 of them had snow. So can you imagine? And they're calling this winter storm the winter bomb. They're calling it a bomb, B-O-M-B. They're saying it's not a hurricane, it's not a tornado. They came up with some other terms that they've used in the past, and right now they're associating this with a winter bomb. It was just dropped on everyone. Everyone has experienced ice or snow somewhere here in the United States. So we welcome, and I see that our very, very special co-host has arrived in the studio. probably had to slide in on a sled of some sort. But good morning, Mr. Walker.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good morning.
How's it going?
You know what? It's excellent. It's just a winter white wonderland. You know, looking outside the windows and everything and seeing no cars on the road and nothing but blankets of snow. I'm liking this. It looks like a Hallmark card. It's exactly what it looks like, or one of those movies that are on Lifetime, you know, when they're, you know, skiing and doing all those fantastic things that we can't oftentimes afford. But this looks good.
So, yes, now today anyone can go and ski. Just go outside your house, put your skis on, and get going.
This is true.
That's true. They had them rollers. They had them ice skating down in Atlanta. They had over an inch of ice on the ground for all of downtown Atlanta. Absolutely
wow.
Shut down. Go nowhere. I was watching that on the Weather Watch yesterday evening. So it is pretty bad. So we thank God for our safety, your safety, and we pray that each of you out there, please do the smart thing and do not go out if you don't have to. There's no need to be out there getting stuck when you could simply stay in. If you don't have a job, that is a dire emergency. If you're not part of a medical team, if you're not part of a firefighter and those types of jobs, work from home today with computers, technology. It should be an easy fix. Even the government has made it mandatory now that government employees must work from home in emergencies like this and therefore not get paid for being at home watching the Jerry Springer show. So you must work while you are at home. But as for me, I'm using a vacation day. So welcome to the show today. I know Mr. Walker has an awesome, awesome topic that he's going to bring to us. I tell you, Mr. Walker, it's just been great. We've had a wonderful discussion. We had a great chat room discussion going on Tuesday, well, which was yesterday, and also great discussion on Monday as well. And we have a wonderful lineup for you coming. I can't even begin to tell you about some of the people that are coming to the Coach Talisa Show starting tomorrow with Miss Kathy Rudolph. She will be our very special guest. She has a personal story about how she lost so much weight and what she does to keep the weight off. So she's lost over 100. Yes, she's lost over 100 pounds. She looks absolutely fantastic. And also, it's just an interesting story about how the two of us met. So she's going to be on. And then there's an awesome new movie out by a new but not too new producer. My nephew, director Joshua Coates, his new movie, Iniquity. He is going to stop by the show, and actually, they began filming the movie somewhere around November the 29th, just a couple of days after Thanksgiving, and then they ended the filming December 23rd. I told him,
wow.
You can get a movie. I told him, you're the fastest movie producer I've ever met.
Right. I'm like, isn't that a record?
And probably. Some of his other movies that he's worked on, and he was talking to me about them, and you know, I thought it was going to be a long time to shoot, and I've been threatening to star in every movie that he's ever created, but I haven't yet. And then I thought, well, how am I going to get away from work? I'm not going to be able to. It's going to take so much time. And he has definitely, you know, reassured me, no, don't worry, it's not going to take that long. So now I am thoroughly convinced that it won't. So I'm very excited to bring him on and the cast. So he's going to arrange it. He's setting it up now that I can interview the cast. So he is just doing phenomenal things. We are together, myself and director Joshua, are working on our brand new The Coach Talisa Show. Some of you remember when we debuted The Coach Talisa Show last year, somewhere around last August. Yes, July or August, debuted The Coach Talisa Show. Or maybe it was before that, actually. It probably was around maybe March or so. because I remember one of the tapings we did, one of the tapings in May around Mother's Day. So we've taped about four segments of the show, and they are waiting to be edited so that we can run them on cable, and then we're gonna begin taping there, right there in the Philadelphia area. So I'm very, very super excited about that, Mr. Walker.
And no, that's wonderful. Because I can't wait to be on myself. So I'm going to commandeer and or just, you know, what do you call it, crash the party one day if I don't get invited.
You will. You are going to be probably definitely one of the first people that I interview. My very, very, very first interview was Director Joshua Coates. He was
right.
My very first interview. So those of you who didn't see my first episode of The LaLisa Show, you can catch it on YouTube, or you can inbox me on Facebook and I can send you the link. And then we had another show where we discussed light skin, dark skin, does it still matter? There was another show when I emceed at an event where a very popular gospel artist who is around 82, who's been with a group for 60 years, and they are called Spencer Taylor and the Highway QCs. I was at that event. I was emceeing, and we videotaped that event, and then I interviewed him for part of the segment, and then I interviewed a woman who had ran for mayor of the city of Newark last year in the mayoral election, candidacy and election. And she did not win, but she was my guest on the show, and that was also very exciting. So we did tape four shows, but now we're going to go full-fledged and get it done. So we have great things coming up. We have him coming on. We also have another gentleman, so many people coming. But now I want to get this in before I turn it over to you, Mr. Walker. I want to welcome each and every one of you this morning. I know it's snowing outside, but it's warm where you are. So good morning, Tina. Good morning, Miss Dancy down there in North Carolina. I do feel bad for those who want to get out and can't get out. But today is a great day to get online, tune into the show, tell everybody you know that you know they're home. They don't have nowhere to go right now because there's snow everywhere. So this will be a great time for them to get up and tune in. So when I turn it over to Mr. Walker, I'm actually going to go call a few people that I know and also ask them to tune in. And just remember, tomorrow we have Kathy Rudolph. Also, Sunday, please make sure you come out to the Dr. Martin Luther King celebration at Science High School. Let's provide it. We can get out, right? Okay.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Ms. Walker, on this very, very warm, snowy, cozy inside day, why don't you take it away?
You know what? Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Coach. Good morning, everyone. Happy New Year's once again. And I hope that everyone is having a wonderful day in spite of their climate situation, whatever it may be, extreme hot, extreme cold, or extreme snow. It's a great day to be alive. It's a wonderful time within the universe. It's a wonderful time financially, mentally, spiritually. It's just how you perceive it, how you embrace what your situation is and how you view it. So again, thank you. Thank you so much. And I hope that everyone is having a safe week thus far. It used to always befuddle me or make me wonder, especially when I moved to the north, so coming from the Midwest where, 16 inches of snow is not uncommon, and we just kind of put the city on autopilot. But when I moved to the north, a threat of snow, 1 inch or 2 inch, they would shut down the schools. It became a panic and a frenzy. But now I have an appreciation for it, being a couple days older, not years older, but being a couple days older and wiser. You know what? By not having as many people on the street or populating the area, then the snow plows and the proper people can clear the roadways, but it prevents those slide-in accidents. It prevents you from sliding on black ice and prevents you from having perhaps a worse day. Because I could just think as a parent how much and how often by being at the office, you're wondering, am I going to get that call? Are they saying they're closing schools early? And then you're going to try to whiten up with it back to home or back to the school to get your children, and then subsequently there could be an accident or an incident. So I appreciate the mindset now, having been in the North a few years, and why they do what they do by shutting down the schools and or the places of work, because your life is more important than those teachings and or that paycheck. So, again, I'm glad to do that. Also, as usual, I'm always excited and glad to be here and to be able to join each and every one of you on our Wednesday morning midweek Inspiration Radio Show. Today makes the second show since 2011, since the new decade. So, once again, I'm happy, glad, and thankful to be here. And many thanks to you, the listeners, for tuning in, and to you, Coach, for allowing me once again to share my experiences and deliver positive messages to you and the listeners, because I think it's mission critical, especially during this time and when people are suffering. You know, I think just Dr. Phil, the gentleman who's, I guess, the voice of radio is what they're calling him, who lived as a pauper, who lived in the streets, this gentleman who had success, had found success locally, utilizing his voice on the radio and voiceover acting, you know, because of drugs and alcohol and low self-esteem, lost, I think, over 2 decades in the streets, doing everything probably under the sun to survive because he could not kick or overcome his addiction. So we need to have more shows like this more often to let people know that they are worthy and that they are valued and that, you know what, you can overcome any seeming problem. And that there's other people like yourself that are available and stand ready to assist you. So you don't have to go with this thing called life alone. Now, just a few quick updates, very few quick updates. As of last night, and I am so excited about this, but as of last evening, I now have 2 new clients that I will be working with to publish their book. And I'll publish this book this year, and it'll be published through New Look Publishing. I'll keep each and every one of you posted as things progress. My intention at the top of the year was to only have 3 individuals that I would accept their submissions for publication and work intimately with them on a mentorship, consulting, publishing basis, giving these individuals that eye, that buffer, that assistance, and that confidence to forge forward with their dream and continue on their mission. And so as of last evening, I have 2 individuals who are, I don't like to use the word worthy, but who are eager, who are anticipating on doing great things with their book and with their works, and to have it published and bring it out to the world. So those 2 individuals who may have had this on their checklist to do 20 years ago or just this year, they are now going to be completing this process within the first 2 quarters of 2011. So I'm so excited to be a part of that and to help them, again, facilitate their dreams. And I wish more and more people would have done that with me, or I would have known more and more people that were capable of helping me shepherd my project along. I learned so much. I'm thankful for that. I utilized a lot of time. But you know what? Now I'm here and able to give back to others what I learned and my experience to make sure that they can go to the next level as well. Besides that, I am healthy. My new book is coming along quite well, and I'm continuously building relationships that are healthy and that will help to spread my message further. So I am excited, you know, everyone. This is just the 12th of January. So many things have already taken place and have been put forth in front of my life, and I hope the same with you as well, who are listening, and take the value, take the lesson and everything that's being given to you, good or bad, because there's something to be learned from it. For anyone who wishes to learn more about me and also to secure an autographed copy of my book, I ask that you visit my website at www.versiewalker.com. That's spelled V as in victory, ERSIEWALKER.com. Now, with that being said, Coach, today I want to touch on the topic and the subject of the power of forgiveness. For those of you who follow our show on a regular basis, you may recall that I touched on this very topic several months back, and that's true. However, given the fact that we have changed the calendars to a not only a new year, but to a new decade, and many of you are now in the process of putting together your list of New Year's resolutions, I felt it only appropriate to revisit this topic, but to dive in a little bit more deeper. Since the first time I covered this topic, as I just mentioned, many things have changed. I began to write my second book, which I had no intentions on doing it, at least at this point in time. However, I'm on page 90 of what I think would be a 200-page second installment within the Success series. I have met some new and wonderful people, and I've had the opportunity and the time to reflect on past moments and situations, some good and some not so good. And some of those things I had to consciously really dig back in my memory to remember the exact scenario surrounding many of those old events. When it comes to doing that, some people do it and it brings them to a place of regret, excuse me, and a place of remorse. I don't. I use my memory or stored situations to reflect on my growth, to see how far I've actually come. And if there's any static behavior within me, I want to move that to a more active. So I want to go from passive to active because I want to keep moving as I realize that, you know what, tomorrow's not promised to any of us. Knowing that time is the one thing we have the most of, but the least thing that we should be wasting because we never know when our time is up. So I want to get active in 2011. I want to be progressive in 2011. I want to keep things moving. As my grandfather used to say with my mom, she was always driving her little red car. He said, don't no grass grow under those tires because you always keep it moving. And I want to be that same. I want to just keep moving and forging forward. And I ask that each and every one of you do the same thing because there's a whole lot more life to live and a whole lot more love to give. Now, you know how it can be when somebody has hurt you so bad that you swear up and down that you will never forget what that person did to you. You will always remember what they did. Then something happens. Days, weeks, months, and sometimes years later, you've forgotten all about it. Somebody has to bring it up, or a certain scenario would have to play out similarly or exactly the same for you to even remember what occurred. Well, in most cases, that's the power of forgiveness. But in this case, probably it's the power of forgetfulness. Either way, if it's forgiveness or forgetfulness, you become better without it. You become better without holding on to anger and past hurts. The releasing of anger or past hurts was illustrated to me quite clearly when years ago I was holding on to past hurts and anger and once bumped into the person who I was holding a grudge against. And as I said, many of us would swear up and down that if given the chance, we're going to get our revenge. Given the chance, we ain't never going to forget what that person did to us, and we hold this. But for me, after bumping into this individual who I was holding a grudge against, only to come to realize that it didn't even matter. Not only did it not matter, they didn't matter. In an instant, realizing that they were no longer worthy of my time and my energy because I know I have value and worth. I'm sure that this has happened for many of you listening here on the call today. come on, ladies. You remember the guy who was your all. You worshiped the ground he walked on, and then he went up and went on and broke your heart. You were probably insane. Didn't want to eat, couldn't sleep, didn't want to even talk to anyone. Until one day that you decided he wasn't worth it. Or better yet, you were more worthy of something else. And that you deserve so much more out of life and from those you invite in. For some, it could be the day that you walk into your local grocery store and saw the one who left you and told you when they left you that you would be nothing without them. And you see this person and you hear them say, "Hi, ma'am, paper or plastic?" Yeah, you know what? The same person who told you that you will be nothing without them, they're now working at the local grocery store bagging groceries. Not to say anything against, you know, our local grocery store baggers, but you know what? For someone to tell you you're going to be nothing without them, that is one of the most cruelest things that an individual could tell you, because they're trying to take your power away and have you so inundated with them and their mess that you probably can't see the forest for the trees. And that's probably their true intention, because someone would want you to be better or would want to leave a situation better off than what it was when they were there. But sometimes we get so full of ourselves, we forget. But again, the power of forgiveness is unbelievable. The releasing, healing power of forgiveness is resounding. When done sincerely and correctly, it will vibrate the very center of your core. Forgiveness is simply a testament to the power of love and the strength of the human spirit. I want to say that again. Forgiveness is simply a testament to the power of love. We all talk about love. Having love, being love, finding love, looking for love, seeking love, wanting love. It is a testament of that power of love and the strength of the human spirit to continually allow things to roll off of them like a dove, to take the lessons and the blessing within this experience and moving forward, not getting stuck, because that's what anger, hurt, disdain, being despondent, being discouraged when we should be encouraged, those things allow you to be stuck in a place and a time, and you can't see the relevancy of the new place and the time that you probably are in or could perhaps be. Forgiveness, by definition, is simply this: the act of forgiving, or the state of being forgiving. The willingness to forgive. Forgiveness is the process of ceasing to feel resentment, indignation, or anger against another person for a perceived offense, difference, or mistake, or ceasing to demand punishment or restitution for an act that may have been given or placed upon you or someone that you're near and dear to. Talking about failure last week, talking about the benefits of being underestimated a couple of shows back, and then now revisiting the releasing power, or the power of forgiveness, all to me is sequential. It's all these internal emotions and these mechanisms and these triggers that send you to do things adverse to your current situation. As well, I can't even wait to listen to tomorrow's show with the lady who lost 100 pounds. I know how difficult it is to lose 5 or 10 pounds. I also know how difficult it is to lose 80 pounds. You can't just change your eating habit. You can't just change your surroundings. You can't just start exercising and all these things come together. It's a mindset. You have to change relationships. You have to change, you know what, I can't go to the family function because all they do is deep fry. All we're going to have is spaghetti, macaroni, cheese, all these things that will continue, continually allow you to maintain that weight. So I would like to hear about her journey, because I personally have had my own. And I applaud her and anyone else who's willing to change their mindset. And sometimes it's even the process of forgiving those around you who, when they saw you gaining the weight, who, when they saw you constantly eating and not exercising, who did not save you from yourself, who did not assist you in doing better. That power of forgiveness can then bring about changes in your life that you didn't even think could be possible. Speaking of this forgiveness and the power of releasing and forgiving, it brings me to a recent interview that I was watching with Jenny McCarthy. For many of you, she is the ex-wife of funny man Jim Carrey. Also being interviewed on the same interview on the show was author Terry McMillan. Many of you know of her from her award-winning novel and movie, Waiting to Exhale. Now, on this show, both of these women expressed, and for many of you who follow this, you know that they went through a publicly painful divorce. Divorce by itself can be painful. Then to be a publicly displayed divorce, I don't care who brought it up. I don't care who called the tabloids. I don't care. It is painful. Jenny McCarthy, she actually spoke not of the pain, not of the despair, not of the discomfort of being married to this gentleman and then now being divorced. She spoke of the lessons that were taught. And she specifically spoke of the lessons that Jim taught her. And when she did so, she spoke with such adoration and respect for her former spouse. This was amazing to me. This was amazing to watch, because we are in such a place where we want to slander. We want to point fingers. We want to, you know, place the blame on other people for our current situation. I respect her. I have a different respect for this lady because of how she handled that interview and herself. And I know for certain that she has some dark days. She has some times of inner reflection. But at that moment, she showed a resounding respect and regard for not only the sanctity of marriage, but for herself. Why get on this show and belittle herself? Why get on her show and throw salt or throw mud on her ex when they both had a deliberate part in the relationship? Jenny, she stated that she made out a list of all the things he did wrong, he being or meaning her ex-husband, Jim Carrey. She said as the list got longer and longer, she went back. How many people would do what I'm telling you she did? She went back, and on each of the places and she had his name, she then scratched out his name and replaced it with her own. She said that she then quickly realized that she must carry much of the blame in the demise of their relationship as well. Kudos to her. Kudos to her, because more people would rather point the finger at someone else and don't realize that three fingers are pointing back at themselves, won't address the issues that led to certain situations, won't honestly admit that, you know what, I had an active role in what I was doing. I had an active role in all of my relationships. I had an active role in my relationship with food. I actively sought it out. I actively ate it. I actively purchased it. There was an active role that I played in each of my relationships. And what did or did not occur, I had something to do with it, because I chose to have those dealings with those items, people, or persons. Now, with Terry McMillan's publicly charged breakup, it was actually different than what I'm noticing with Jenny. With her breakup, it was filled with slander. It started with deceit. It hinged on infidelity. and had a whole lot of lawsuits going around. Sounds like it could be one of those Lifetime movies. I just couldn't believe that this was going on in someone's life. In her past interviews with her and her ex-husband, you could visibly see the hurt and disdain and anger that this woman had for her ex. And from the stories, it was understandably so. He had been keeping a secret from this woman. And I believe Terry McMillan is 20 years older than her ex-spouse. But he had been keeping a secret so horrific, which could have been potentially dangerous for both her and him. For those who may not know, she discovered that her husband was gay. But to see her now on this recent interview, in fact, callers, to see both of them on the same stage for the first time in 5 years, laughing, touching, and reflecting on the past, convinced me more than ever of the true healing power of forgiveness. She admitted that on the day that she called to let him know that she would no longer pursue him legally or pursue any legal actions against him is when she began to see her way to happy. Kind of funny the way she put it, see her way to happy, which just so happens to be the title of her new book, Seeing Your Way to Happy. But also it's going to be the title of the new movie, I believe, starring all the same women from Waiting to Exhale. It's probably where Waiting to Exhale took off. However, she began to see her way to happy because the anger, the revenge, the hate, the disgust, I think she said, embodied her for 3 years and she could not breathe. It took so much effort and energy and had a little hindrance on her financial. But besides that, she could not move. She could not go to another place. She could not begin to see happy because she was living in the past of anger, discontent, feeling disrespected, disinvolved. We have those emotions and we have a right to them. We just don't have a right, and I don't think we should have a right to hold on to them forever because it hurts you, not the other person. Excuse me. Coach, back in Chicago, at my old church, what we would do for the new year and as part of our resolution for ourselves is we would write down those things that we wish to eliminate out of our lives that we no longer wanted to be a part of or wanted to have a part of us. And then what the church would do is have a huge ceremony, and this ceremony was called the Burning Bowl. During this church service, all of the members would write down and have their list of things that they no longer wish to have in their lives and in their world and in their affairs. And this could be anything from cigarettes, bad relationships, diseases, lack and limitation, whatever it is, you would then write it down, and no matter how long the list was, we didn't care. But what would happen is during the ceremony, the entire congregation would have their completed list. We would then, you know, pray for things to be removed, and we would pray for one another. And at the right moment, everyone would come down and throw each of their letters into the burning bowl. Burning up, getting rid of, dissolving, resolving those things within our world and our affairs that we no longer wanted to have. If only you could imagine seeing the 3,000 plus members with their letters in their hand, and also the letters from their family members and friends who could not attend the ceremony, burning up and releasing themselves. For many of them, it was the very things that may have enslaved them throughout their entire lives. Needless to say, this was an awe-inspiring moment and movement. The tremendous energy in that place was amazing. People, if you do nothing else this year, please work on embracing the power of forgiveness. It is a tool that you can utilize any time that you like. And when you do that, and when you do it in a timely manner, you then send the intended or potential or considered offender, you send them rocking back on their heels, not knowing how to deal with you, knowing full well that they have did something intentionally or unintentionally that may have hurt and or offended you. You make them then scramble to see what it is that's in you that will give you the power of forgiveness, that would enable you to tell them and look them emphatically in their eyes, I'm okay with you. Now, people, I'm not saying that you have to live with these people. Love them where they are. If you and your ex-husband could not live in the same house together and he lives across the street, love him where he's at. Forgive him where he's at. You don't have to bring him into your world, into your affairs, because more than likely he still has that same baggage. He may not have the consciousness that you have and the capacity to forgive that you have, and he may be stuck in a place that you no longer want to be. See, much like the telephone, you can choose whether or not to answer it. You don't have to trip over your son's toy. You don't have to become exasperated running from the garage to the kitchen to answer a phone. You can let it ring off the hook. You can let the answer machine receive it. You can choose when and where to deal with any conversation, situation, or person, and you can choose to forgive. It is a power that is bestowed upon you that is taught throughout these times and definitely throughout biblical texts. When Jesus forgave someone forgave their son, someone forgave their wife. Forgiveness is, again, a powerful tool that we oftentimes lend or give away to others because of foolishness and this thing called ego and pride. Do not, I ask of you, I beg of you, do not allow this to be a continuum of bad situations in 2011. Do not allow your ability to hold and to hoard despondency and anger and filth and malicious words and thoughts prevent you from going forward in this new decade. Own you and own your thoughts and your behaviors as well. And forgiveness, again, is one of those things that you can spread out freely. It is, when I say it is releasing so much that people will look at you 5 or 10 years after seeing you and say, my God, you look just like you did 16 years ago. What are you doing? And because your energy has shifted, you have shifted the genetic makeup within yourself. You have shifted a new paradigm for your life. You are choosing life. Where they're having headaches, backaches, and heart attacks, you're jogging, riding your bike, and jet skiing because you're living life to its fullest. And you're embracing every day and realizing that, you know what, anger and hate of a past hurts are irrelevant. You can't change the past. It used to be said you can't cry over spilled milk because it's done. And let them and the situation be done. You may not be able to embrace this concept at the very time and moment it happens, but practice, when you're practicing perfectly, does help. Practice this forgiveness. Call someone who may not know that you're even angry with them and say, you know what, I forgive you. And if they allow or ask for an explanation, give it. If they don't, just know that you release the situation and you release them. And you definitely released yourself. As I said before, forgiveness is a selfish act. So for those who are selfish in the I, me category, why not use this as your banner? Oh, I forgive you because I'm selfish. I forgive you. I can let you go because it's really about you. It's really for you. And the energy that you would then emanate or permeate this universe or the world with will then now start to radiate your very existence. Those things that your anger has been preventing from penetrating and getting into your world and affairs would then be able to escape into your core, allowing you your happy so that you could see more of your way to happy. I say again, with Jenny McCarthy, it was surprising that I think this breakup just happened 6 or 7 months ago. For her to be able to be in a place where she was identifying her role in the situation, her role in the demise of her relationship, and not holding bitter disdain, not being angry. Not to say that she's not going to have dark days, but she sees the light. She's dictating her future. She's willing herself to happiness. She's calling in existence those things that she wants in her life. So now as a man who may be interested in dating her, seeing how she dealt with or is dealing with that situation says a lot about her character. Says that she's someone, if nothing else, that you would like to perhaps be friends with, someone that you would want in your life, especially if you're progressive-minded as myself, where I don't want anything negative around me, and should it be, let's eradicate it immediately. People, again, as you're making your New Year's resolution, I asked you last week to make sure that you include a little failure in there as well, so that should it happen, you knew that it would. If it doesn't, glad you didn't have to waste your time with it. I also ask that you incorporate forgiveness. Write that list of those who hurt you, of that father who left, of that auntie who may have violated you, of that employer who doesn't respect or regard you. Forgive. And better yet, forgive yourself. There are so many people who are blaming themselves for situations that they had no control over. But we want to blame. We want to harbor this thing called hating, hurting, and just, you know, disgust. So I got to blame you. You know, I got to blame myself. Maybe, you know, he wouldn't have left if I wouldn't have dyed my hair. Maybe she would have loved me if I was, you know, 6 feet taller. I mean, we have to stop doing this, people, and realize that we can forgive even ourselves. That was another thing I think Terry McMillan said, and she was very profound in when she said it. She said, oh, he did love me. There was no doubt about it. He loved me. In fact, he satisfied me. And sometimes he would be surprised how well and how often and how much he satisfied me. The man couldn't keep his hands off of me. When we would be driving, he would hold my hand, brush my hair, massage my shoulder. He loved me. But she now realized that he had something inside of him that he was challenged with himself. And to constantly beat him up on that issue, we all want to be told the truth. We all want to be spoken to with such regard that we have a right to make a decision, especially when it affects our lives. But she now can forgive him for this situation, for him not knowing how to approach it, for him struggling internally from his culture to mainstream on how many, you know, how many levels this is seen to be or said to be wrong. So he wanted to have her, he wanted to love her, but there was something else inside of him that compels him to be who he really was. Unfortunate for her, or maybe fortunate for her, she was Terry McMillan, million-dollar author, million-dollar lifestyle. Maybe fortunate for her because now it perhaps changed her perspective and had her develop something inside of her that she may have been suppressing all these years or didn't know. Because, you know, believe me or not, people, when you go through adversity, when you go through challenges and strife, you see who you really are. I ask that any relationship that you cultivate, you know what, pray quickly for some adversity. Not necessarily nasty or negative, but pray quickly so that you can see the people with this side of the relationship and how they cope with it. So that you don't have to go years and weeks thinking that, hey, they got my back. Hey, they're there for me. No, some challenges will tell you who people really are. And challenges will definitely tell you who you are. And being able to forgive on various levels will show you and show the world what you're made of. I always ask people to be fearless. Take on challenges. I'm noticing now more and more people are skydiving. More and more people are horseback riding. And they have always been. But I'm talking about those within our culture that typically wouldn't do that. They're letting go. They're releasing. They're taking the old stigmas and stereotypes from Ma and Grandmama. And they're saying, you know what, I'm going to do something differently today. I'm going to challenge myself. And I think the power of forgiveness, the capacity to forgive, the capability of forgiving, the desire to forgive, is that same challenge that I'm giving you charge with, each and one who are listening to me and hearing the sound of my voice. Please forgive. It is the best thing that you can do today for the rest of your life. For the rest of your life. Coach, how many times have you had to forgive someone or something or even yourself in your lifetime?
Well, it's like the word says, 70 times 70 is just not enough. But it is a daily thing, daily, every single day. We try to just stay in the forgiveness mode. Because you're right, there are so many times where we could possibly get hung up. And I have been in that state where I was hung up on unforgiveness. I thought it was legitimate. I was just a child. And everyone that I had ever spoken to as an adult, when it came to having been molested, violated like that, sexually abused, I was given permission to not forgive, to hold in contempt. And it was bad news. And so I'm so glad that I learned the true meaning of resentment and unforgiveness and how it hurts the person that holds on to it. It almost, A-L-M-O-S-T, is that how you spell almost?
Yes, ma'am.
As they would say in the military, read my lips. It almost never, never hurts the person that you're holding the unforgiveness for.
Mm-hmm.
They don't even know. I thought when you were sharing the story about how you had bumped into someone that years ago, there may have been some unforgiveness for. I thought you were going to say you bumped into them and they didn't even know who you were.
No, but they just never, you know, paid attention or remembered or thought about, you know, the situation. And I brought it up and they were like, you know, I remember that. And at that moment,
exactly.
I'm like, you know what, it's not even worth it. And, you know, everything
exactly.
that we remember only, you know, impacted us. And we remember it from the standpoint as either victor or victim. And so, you know, we go through this life, you know, thinking that we're owed something and we're not. And, you know, I know with your situation and so many other people like you that, you know what, not forgiving could take you out of this world. It could take you out of your mind. You can have a girl who went, you know, to college, a guy who, you know, was inheriting the family business, whatever, will take you out of your right mind and have you living in the street begging for food when you're very capable of earning your own living. It's just those hurts, it's those disappointments, those things where we felt we're old and we're not. I had a conversation, and I just want to expound on this for a second. I had a conversation with my dad. My relationship with my dad, consisted, as I remember, of this. He was in my life till I was two, and then him and my mom separated and divorced. Then he was in my life until I was probably about six or seven, sporadically, driving by, coming by, you know, at whim. So if it was 12 months a year, I may have saw him 12 months. And then there was a span of time from maybe 7 to 13 where I had no knowledge of where my dad was at, and even if he existed any longer. The community in which we lived in, I probably lived four blocks in any direction from a family member or a close friend. That's how, you know, close-knit this community was, including my mother's in-laws, which are my aunties, uncles, and my grandmother on my father's side. And every time he would ask about my dad, no one knew where he was at or what he was doing. I come to find out, you know, years later that wasn't true. But so between the span of 13 to 16, we kept in contact. And to me, it was of no benefit. So between 16 and 20-something, I didn't have contact with my dad. And we established relationships over the years and even more recent years. And I would ask him, every time he would hang up the phone, he would say, "Son, I love you." And so I would ask my wife, "Why is this man telling me he loves me? You know, my kids, I rush home. I run stoplights sometimes to get home and just see if there's a new freckle on my child's face or a new word or a new mannerism." I said, does he mean he loved me when I was 2 or 5? Because he don't know me as a 35-year-old man. Well, she said, "Ask him." So I did. So the answer was, I never stopped forgetting about all these other things. Well, I know for men, we pay attention to those things that are most dear to us. We know what time the football game is coming on. We know every tool in the tool aisle. Those things that we care about, we keep them dear and near to us. So his explanation to me wasn't germane. And then just like 5, 6 years ago when I first became self-employed, I had to go to the West Coast to see after him because he had taken ill. And I wanted to go and see about him and his affairs and make sure everything was in order. And I rummaged through some of his belongings. His life was such disarray. He would have files and notes and everything just sprawled out throughout the whole house that had no sequential relevance. He would have a letter from someone from 1979 in the same pile as his taxes from 2004. However, one letter struck me as odd because it was actually addressed to his brother. I opened the letter, and it was my grandmother on my father's side, I believe in 1976, asking how is he doing, how is his new life there in Oregon taking place. I know at that very time I had asked this woman about my father. I know during those very times she told me she had no knowledge of her son and where he was at, keeping him from doing what he was supposed to do as a man, helping to cultivate this air of ignorance. But you know what I had to do? I had to forgive her, even though she wasn't alive. But more importantly, I had to forgive him. Because it may have been more beneficial that this man wasn't in my life because of the direction in which my life has taken and the life in which he has been living. Total polar opposite. But I could have been angry. I could have held some resentment. But I cannot. It's of no consequence. The past is the past. Fortunately for me, I don't believe I'm that damaged, and that I got more benefit from the love that was given to me and the direction that was given to me from others, that he did not play a huge deficit in my life. I do want to know, you know, why do I like certain things? Why do I act a certain way? Because some of this is genetic. But he still can't give that to me because I don't think he still understood himself and who he was then and how his life has played out now. But even I have been pressed with, faced with, having to forgive someone who I felt hurt me and could have done better. So I say again, people, as you're writing these New Year's resolutions, not only do you need to understand and write in being, you know, a piece of failure, you know, just slide a little piece of failure in between those pages. You know, hey, right here, may have a moment of failure, may have a moment, let me embrace it, let me learn from it. But that you have the power to forgive, and it's a healing power. And with that being said, people, go out and enjoy your day today. Remain relentless and focused and fearless, because this year is yours. Take it over, Coach.
Well, you know,
Absolutely, absolutely. And we encourage you just to continue to listen for a few more minutes if you can. We have actually extended the show a little bit due to the fact that there's not a whole lot of places we can go right now in the snow, and many of you may possibly be on delayed entry. And so certainly we wanted to, just be able to bring that every now and again. We're able to give you just a little bit more, and this happens to be one of those mornings. But yes, absolutely, just a very powerful discussion about forgiveness cannot be talked about enough, because there are many people in business, many entrepreneurs, there are parents, there are children, siblings, there are people in the community, especially so many of our government officials, not only in the United States, but around the world, are trapped in a bondage, so to speak, in a mental and emotional jail of unforgiveness. They are trapped there. There is no key. It has been thrown away. And the only way they're going to get out is that somebody is going to have to do something miraculous to get them out. Because there are people, I have met people who truly, truly, truly believe in unforgiveness. It's their belief system from the day they were born. They believe it's the right thing to do. And I don't care how many times you encourage them to read Your Erroneous Zones by Dr. Wayne Dyer. Now, I remember my mother had that book laying around the house as if it was a comic book. I'll never forget it. It will always be a mark in my mind. And sometimes people probably, I'm just trying to show off or something, but I am not. When I say my mother threw away more books than the average household may have, I am not kidding. This woman was a reader. And one of the things that is so interesting to me is that that's why I always say God has jokes, because he allowed me to be the daughter of a woman who was so honored and respected and loved and thoroughly enjoyed reading, with a daughter who was on the opposite end of that spectrum for so long. I was trapped. That's another type of trapping. But that was one book. There's two books in that house all the time I lived with my mom growing up, and all the books that this lady had. There were two books that caught my attention that made me stop listening to the Dells and the Whatnots and the Bells and all those other songs. You know, Brenda and the Tabulations and you name it, I could sing it. I should have had a show called You Name It, I Can Sing It.
Mm-hmm.
And out of all the only two books that made me stop in my tracks and read was that one by Wayne Dyer, and I don't know what it caught my attention. If it was just the word, it was so intriguing, erroneous. I couldn't even say it at the time. I think it was the fact that the word was like, what in the world could this possibly mean? And the other book was Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. Now, if you knew my mother and was actually around me and our family at that time, you probably wouldn't possibly think that these were books that she probably read more than once. But I caught a hold of them and I read them. And those books, I've never forgotten them. One, I must have read around, I think Wayne Dyer's book came out probably somewhere around 78, because I saw someone else making mention to his book. I think it came out in 1978. So I must have got a hold of it. I probably read it in 79, right before I went into the military in 1980. And the other book, Napoleon Hill, I read right after I came out of the military. So I read Napoleon Hill's book right while I was in the midst of when I was in that really, really bad state and living out on the streets. And I picked that book up some kind of way. And I read it. Yes. And I said, wow. And then, both books are about thinking. So now it's not, now it's coming to me. It's not strange that I picked up those two books out of some other books. She had a lot of novels, tons of them.
Okay.
Both of those books were about thinking, because your erroneous zones is telling you that you have control over your feelings through your thoughts. And then think, well, I don't have to explain why that's about thinking. It's right there in the title, Think and Grow Rich. But in other words, you can have the financial lifestyle that you want, but again, you have to think it. So there you go. There you have it.
You know what? I want to ask you a question. I want to ask you a question, Coach. I'm sorry for interrupting you, but I like this dialogue. I like when we're talking. I don't want it to be a monologue where I'm the only one talking. So any information, any interjection, anything anybody want to bring up or talk about, I am so much for it. But my question is, and I know the book, titled Think and Grow Rich, it doesn't say be and grow rich, do and grow rich. It literally says sit still, peace be still, think, and you can grow rich. But you just touched on something where we have to be reintroduced or told that we are in possession of these thoughts and feelings, and we can control how we think or feel. We can't always control circumstances around us or what people are doing around us or to us, but through us, we can control how we respond, act, or think. And where is it that we have to be reintroduced to this? Because my kids know that very well. I'm just, wondering what happens, maybe after age 18 or 20 when we start really living on everybody else's opinion on either our clothes, our relationships, what job we should have. When do we start just giving that away freely and have to be reintroduced to that, and why? And the reason I ask this is because it's funny how you can have a child in your house for 18 years who won't pick up their clothes, won't stop fighting with their siblings and doing all these other things, but can go to the Army or the Navy and in 4 years come back, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, I'll do that. They could be committed with conviction, pick up their clothes and everything else. What is it that makes the difference, and why are we giving this power away to other people when we first own it and possess it?
Well, the military, just from the short time that I was there for almost 3 years, which was the time I had enlisted. I'll tell you how one of the ways the military can do it, because they'll break your head if you don't do what they tell you.
But your mama says she will, too. Your mama used to tell me she'll bust my head to the white meat show, and I still act the fool.
But good morning. But let me tell you something about them. But parents, you said a key word. Parents, they say they will do. And
Right. Once
you say you do to a child and you don't do, now you've built up this thing, and then where they know that you don't mean what you say. So
Right. Therefore,
they're going to test you a little bit further. And therefore, and the more you don't do what you say, every now and then you do, but that doesn't mean anything.
Okay.
Because it's what speaks volumes, and we know that from other areas. But in the military, they will come through the very first time they say.
Okay.
And therefore, you will put a different type of behavioral, your behavior will be constrained, should I say.
Right.
When then they get to a point, they don't even have to say it. They just, you just know it's there. Now, that happens in households, too. And some parents have enough wisdom to accept that, and they would never tell their child they're going to hit them or whip them or punish them without coming through with it. Because a child only knows once you do it, then you will do it. But once you don't do it, they know you won't ever. And then they don't even worry about you. But that's just, one of the things I've noticed when I was in boot camp. Because I said the same thing. I was only in boot camp for 1 week out of the 8 weeks. I was in there 1 week and I said, oh, my God, here they are teaching us all the stuff that my parents have been trying to teach me all my life.
Right.
And I sat there at age 23 in the boot camp and said, wow, every kid needs to go to boot camp, whether they go into the military or not.
Or not, yep.
Because you're right. The military has coined a process for getting you to obey orders, rules, authority, whatever you want to call it. And what many parents tried to teach, they weren't able to do. And then some schools are effective at it, but this for the same reasons. And every teacher knows that. I start you out letting you do what you want, then that's how I have to end up. But back to unforgiveness, it's just such a powerful, someone in the chat room, and just to get to some of the chat room messages, there's chatting going on there, and we welcome all of you and those in the chat room as well. But yes, Kiva said that forgiveness is a powerful tool, and I agree with you, Mr. Walker. It is so much more powerful for the individual who gives it. But unfortunately, I think sometimes in society, we think that when we forgive someone, we think we're giving away our power to that person, and therefore I'm going to appear, you know, weak. I'm going to appear weak-minded. I'm going to appear a sissy if I forgive them. So we have some negativity attached to forgiving others, and probably forces us not to do it. Sometimes it's behavior, you know, you didn't see your parents do a whole lot of forgiving Aunt Janie and Cousin Sue and Brother Bill. You know, if we grow up with that, you know, then we can, because, you know, we learn things naturally that way as well.
Right.
But I just want to interject for a second. You know, Mr. Paul Carazzi, he has a very, very, very exciting website. And I am telling you to go to his website. I had fun on there playing around a while ago. I was pretending to be Mrs. James Bond, but he has a great website, howtobejamesbond.com. And also, actual site, yes, is www.bondlife.com. And we're definitely going to have him on soon, have him feature him as one of our guests. I didn't realize, you know, he goes around the country, I'm sure the world, doing these presentations, teaching people. It's not just about a movie. I was doing some background reading in it. It's about how to live your life, how to live your life as a champion, as a winner. So I was, you know, why is he attracted to the Coach Lalisa show? Well, I see he's into the same business of motivating and empowering people, and his outlet is James Bond. I think that is so, so awesome.
Now, what is that email again? I didn't get that. Or I'm sorry, the email, the website?
Yeah, the websites, yes. So there's the one, which is www.bondlife, like James Bond, B-O-N-D, life.com. Then he has his own personal website, which is his name, paulcarazzi.com. And he says, yeah, he taught at the Learning Annex. I saw that. I was very impressed, Mr. Paul. And not that I wasn't already impressed with you, but I'm even more thoroughly impressed with the fact that you taught at the Learning Annex in New York City, which is the biggest, training, motivational speaking, public seminar forum probably in the country. And I know for years and years and years, their reputation, like if you could get on there, that was the Hollywood of motivational speaking and trainers. So congratulations. And also he has a website entitled howtobejamesbond.com. And yes, go ahead.
I was just going to say it's ironic that he wrote, you know, he's done this because in my book, I speak in a section about wanting to be James Bond. And also two people wanted to be when I was growing up, James Bond and the Fonz, so Arthur Fonzarelli from Happy Days. And not to necessarily be those two individuals, but what they personified. They were always cool as a cucumber. They commanded an audience even when they whispered. So I talk about this in the book. One of our listeners, Miss Alicia Henderson, she'll send me an email. She'll say, all right, Bond. But it's because that what they represented. And I don't think enough people, you know, in life today represent that, you know, calculated individual. So this is, I'm going to look into this. This is amazing.
It's just great. But we do have a caller. I'm going to open up their phone line right now and take their comment or question. Caller, area code 973, you're on the air.
Hi, good morning, Coastal Lisa, and good morning, Verti. This is Tina.
Good morning.
Good morning. And I was listening for a while, and you were talking about forgiveness, and I was thinking about something that I remember years ago. I learned at this Bible class, the woman who was teaching it was talking about forgiveness and forgetting. And the definition that she gave for her to forgive someone is to renew the relationship back to its natural state before the actual event had taken place, totally forgiving the person and forgetting it. And one of the questions that a lot of us talked about, and you hear people say all the time, how do you forget? Well, I believe you have to learn to forget what happened, because if you say you forgive, but then you don't forget what happened, every time you see the person or the people who hurt you and you act differently around them, you're still giving them the power. So it was interesting, Lalisa, that you had just mentioned something about people not feel as though that someone has power over them or something that relates to being weak. You have to be able to release that. You have to be able to feel as though that when you're going to be able to forgive and you're going to forget the situation that happened. So when you see the person or you see the people, it no longer has control over you. It no longer has control over your action, your thoughts, and the decision and the way you're going to treat that person or people.
Right, and I like that. Taking it back to a state before the incident even took place, and how do you forgive? And I find that if you keep going by the same place that the person robbed you, and every time you go by there, you give credence back to that same location, that you're going to keep on remembering. I see here in New York, and it was the same in Chicago, where people may have an accident, and they may have been in an accident on the expressway or a certain road, and that individual passed away, that every anniversary, the person will go back and put a wreath at the same very location that the accident occurred. And I'm like, why would you do that? One, endangering yourself on that same highway by doing that, but you're not glorifying or remembering the life of the person. You're remembering and retaining that incident. And I don't want to be reduced down to an incident or a moment. And so I think, you know, that's a good thing. How do you forget? And I think time does heal all wounds, but maybe a new direction. Stop going down that same block. Try a new path and forget. You know, you'll be able to forget much sooner. And that's why I use the word forgetfulness at the top of the hour, because that can also be, you know, a blessing, or it can be a process of the forgiveness, because if you can't remember it anymore, you are not holding on to those experiences. So thank you, Ms. Tina. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Coach, are we there?
Yeah, I'm here. Thank you for those comments. I was all over on the Bond Life page reading some...
I wrote in my book about being James Bond. I really wrote that in my book. It's just, it was like these two personas. I mean, James Bond, because of his cool, you know, way and how he wore his clothes and how, you know, they look so nice on him. And then, you know, Arthur Fonzarelli, the Fonz, because how they could command a situation that could be potentially toxic or, you know, adverse, and they could change it on a dime just by them showing up. And that's, you know, like the spirit of God. That's the spirit of, you know, Jesus Christ. Just by showing up, you can change the temperature in a room.
You can, and we should be. Yeah, we should be changing the atmosphere, we call it.
Yes.
Changing atmosphere. But I love on page 17 from his book, James Bond, Paul Karazi. I can't wait to get him on the show. He talks about this freelance success. I love it. He says, this is for a serious-minded person who takes action. He says, that's right. This book is for you. You paid the price. Make your dream come true. You only live twice. He says, well, I'm not so much of a physician to know if we live twice or not. One thing I do know is that you're on the planet right now. So why should James Bond have all the fun, all the resorts, all the cash, all the adventure? It is time to claim yourself a piece of it. You know, we go to Bond movies and we cheer for him. Come on, 007, forget the pain. Don't mind the danger. Keep going. Don't give up. But when we come out of the theater, we forget about rooting for ourselves.
Wow.
Think, I'd like my university degree, but it's too much trouble. I'd like to ask that girl on a date, but she'll probably turn me down. And if she says yes, it'll be too expensive. I'd like to start my own business, but it's too risky. I like to get into shape, but it's too hard, giving up junk food. Now it's time to get your butt out of the way. Take action. Time to run while others walk, to act while others just talk. Time to look at the world and want it all, and then strike like the thunderball. I tell you, I'm sorry, I had to read that whole thing. Paul,
no, but that's living like Bob. That's living like Bob. I love it.
I'm telling you, I was trying to figure out, why is there a person from Japan tuning in to the Coach LaLisa show? Mr. Paul Carazzi, wow. He also has a free link to a download, and you can download its entire 83 minutes, and I did hear some of that, and it was absolutely entertaining. So this is who I'm going to bring on to the Coach LaLisa show very, very soon, as soon as he and I can work up some dates. And nice reading. Thank you. Paul, I knew I was an actress. Thank you, Paul. You confirmed it. Also, if you need any reading, Paul, don't forget, I could play the role of somebody, anybody. I don't care.
Oh, wait, you could be a Bond girl.
I'm going to be a Bond girl. And you know what? Out of all the movies, I did care for those mystery-type movies. And, you know, it's like Mr. Paul Carazzi says, you have a mission. Remember the TV show Mission Impossible?
Impossible,
they
yes.
Would say, yes, they would say, this is your mission if you're willing to accept it. And we could even tie that into the forgiveness. This is your mission if you're willing to accept it. Go back into that relationship. Give that person.
All right.
Here's how you can the giant of James Bond. Go to the person that you've been holding on to unforgiveness for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
I know. Don't have to paint you. I know it's somebody out there. It may not be you and you and you, but somebody listening to this show has had that. Now, I know those people who, so go find that person and say, you know what? Hey, not only have I forgotten, but I forgive you. Even, because see, some of us, we forgot, but we didn't forgive Mr. Walker.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we forgot. About you, because we haven't seen you or heard your name.
Correct.
But boy, oh boy, let your face cross my path. Let me pick up an old picture. Let someone mention your name, or let a song play. Or an old movie come on, or whatever. Now I get back all these memories, and sometimes we learn and discover that the unforgiveness really wasn't gone. Because what happens is, if you just try to dismiss it, it didn't go away. The only way to get rid of it is to forgive. See, some people are good at the forgetting, but they're not good at the forgiving.
And forgiving is an act. You have to have action. It's an act.
Because it says it do good to those who despitefully use me. So if I really want to know if I've really forgiven you, let me help you.
Right.
Let me do something then help you. It's easy to kind of go away and not see you anymore, and I can tell myself I've forgiven you. No. But now let me go. Now let me go feed you if you're now hungry.
Right.
Now let me go help pay your bills if your bills aren't being paid. Now that's real forgiveness. Like my mother, I'll never forget a woman who she had a good right to not forgive this lady for the way the lady treated her in the workplace. On promotions and recommendations, many things. She could have opened up so many doors for my mother. And I remember when the lady was laying dying of cancer, when none of her own family members would come and clean her home or clean her up. My mother literally moved in with the woman, left her own household to go and take care of this same woman who many a day passed my mother over for job promotions, and she was in the position to recommend her. Knowing my mother had seven children, knowing how my mother, you know, was struggling here and there to pay the bills. But when the lady was up in age and they both had retired from the same company, and when I watched my mother go to this woman's house and care for her, cleaning up her mess. You know, sometimes people can get very messy in that state. Her own children, as a matter of fact, one of her sons also had cancer and was dying. They died maybe within a year of each other. Was also there. So she only had, that lady only had two children, and the other son was locked up.
Mm-hmm.
But it showed me real forgiveness. Real forgiveness is more than just lip service.
Right.
No, you, if you really want to know if you forgave somebody. So, anyway, great topic as usual with you, Mr. Walker. You are just full of empowering, inspiring. You know, I see why they have you all over the country, if not the world, sharing your messages.
Well, I thank you. I'm humbled by your comment. I appreciate it. And I, again, so thankful to be able to share this platform, to be able to provide maybe some insight, you know, on how people can view things differently and change their life, because somebody somewhere did it for me. Somebody somewhere, a Bond movie or something, inspired me enough to realize that I don't have to be enslaved by my thinking. I don't have to be entrenched by my surroundings, that I can choose to do better and be more. And I just want to share that with our people, because as they're indicating, life expectancy is going to expand and we're living longer. But if we're not living quality, fruitful lives, is it really worth living? And I think that if you can help to inspire someone to do something contrary to what they're doing to bring about better results in their lives, you have did your God-given purpose. And I think, you know, having this platform, having this voice, allows me to do that. And some of my creativity comes at the drop of a dime. I can be inspired by just watching how a child embraces their parent and just say, why can't we continuously embrace our father in that same manner, or the guy who's laying in the same bed with you? Why can't we embrace one another? Because sometimes all we need is a verbal or physical hug. So, again, I am truly humbled and thankful for you, our friends here on the show, and everyone else who allows me to once again share with you my thoughts, and hopefully it helps to elevate your consciousness to the next level as well.
Wow. Well, Mr. Paul has also made available, like I said, you can go and download for just a few days from his from www.yousendit.download, which I'm going to post that. I'm going to copy and paste that somewhere else. No, it didn't let me. Okay, well, I'm going to see if he could send it to me in my Facebook page, because I want to download that. He said there's a Bond girl in there. I want to hear the Bond girl. So welcome to all the guests. Thank you for listening, staying tuned with us for the entire hour and a half. We did put an extra half hour there just because of the delay. Most people are on delayed, even if they are going out. But please be very, 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 very careful. The trucks are trying to do what they need to do. So if you're not on the road, they can do it better. So if you don't have to go out, don't. You, Ms. Hope Harper, all the way in Cincinnati, Ohio, for tuning in and staying tuned. I know you all also got hit by this, what they're calling a winter bomb. It's a bomb. And so now they're saying all 50 states have snow on the ground. I think that's the first time that's ever happened, I do believe. That's why SB has a title for the day. Thank you again, Ms. Tina. Thank you. Thank you for always for your very powerful comments, and Kiva in the chat room, and Mr. Paul keeping it going. Make it happen, y'all. Now we're Bond men and women now. Now we got to make something happen. And I love the way Paul said it. You know, we can encourage every, you know, we can watch these TV shows and we can encourage, you know, these great people to do things. Let's encourage ourselves to. Let's tell ourselves power. Yes. Yes. Thank you, Ms. Adele, for tuning in. Thank you, Ms. Deborah Calhoun. Thank you. I'm not sure who the 708 area code is, but thank you. Thank you. And again, Mr. Versi Walker, it's been great. It's been real. We'll see you back here tomorrow with Ms. Kathy Rudolph and her powerful story. You don't want to miss it. So until then, Mr. Walker, you have a wonderful day.
You as well.
Wonderful. See you a little bit later on Facebook somewhere. Everyone, I will be doing a seminar tonight. If you know anybody with a radio show on Blog Talk Radio or wants to host a Blog Talk Radio show, I will be doing a free webinar to show you some things that you might want to do, some tips, some tricks of the trade that I have learned from my 6 years on the radio. I've been doing this now for 3 years and was on Harvest Radio on the 1070 AM dial here in New Jersey for 3 years. I'm putting all that together, and I'm also going to bring to you some little tips that I've learned to help you run an awesome, awesome program, talk radio on the air. So that's tonight at 8:30, Wednesday. You all go out and remember, your goals will take you to the destiny of your dreams. This has been Ms. Diversity Walker and Coach Lalisa, Midweek Motivation.
All right. Take care.
Thank you for tuning in to another segment of the Coach Lalisa Show. Well, we hope you learned something. Now your challenge is to go and apply the tips, tools, or strategies that you have learned here today. And don't forget to invite a friend. Share the knowledge. Share the love. Share the wealth with everyone. Well, we are honored that you were here with us today for this 30-minute segment. The Coach Lalisa Show can be heard right here on Blog Talk Radio every morning, Monday through Friday, at 7:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's been great. It's been real. It's been awesome. And you got to keep moving on up, because in reality, there ain't nothing stopping you now. You are on the move. And this has been Coach Lalisa J. Williams.